Esme Suiza found herself in a crowd of officers heading out to take command of their ships. A couple of lieutenants, like Esme, the rest majors, and one lieutenant commander. Like her, most of them spent hours studying the specs of their new commands. Her ship, the patrol craft Rascal, had been upgraded with new weapon suites that made her almost a mini cruiser. To power this weaponry, she'd been given new drives, and despite all the additions and changes, she was still not overly cramped in her personnel compartments, so she had a full complement of crew. Esme had studied the specs all the way out from Castle Rock, until she was sure she could recognize and name everything. Those months she'd spent on Kosciusko learning about hulls and drives made it much easier. She actually understood exactly which modifications supported which of the new additions. Now she was about to see her ship for the first time. She had checked in when she arrived, so if her crew were alert, they'd know she was on the way. And she had taken a few moments in one of the lounges to make sure that her fringe of hair was as neat as it could be. The several weeks of accelerated growth had produced a surprising amount of hair, but it wasn't what she was used to. Up ahead, she saw the docking number and the name Rascal. She squared her shoulders, felt in her pocket one more time for the command wand that would make the ship's electronics accept her as the commander, and approached the smart-looking corporal standing guard at the docking tube hatch. He saw her, recognized the captain's patch on cap and sleeve, and came to attention.
Captain Suiza! Welcome, sir. Is the captain coming aboard now?
Yes.
Very well, Captain. I've just notified the bridge. We have no officers aboard at present. Master Chief Humberley is in charge. The captain's luggage?
They're sending it when they've unloaded the transport.
Captain Suiza, welcome.
Master Chief Humberley was a lean, older man whose hair was cropped so short, Esme couldn't be sure if he was also balding or not. He had the same brisk, competent, cheerful look as the corporal. Esme liked him at once, and noted that he had none of the blurry look that had signaled the older NCOs whose rejuvenation was failing.
I'm sorry Jig Turner isn't aboard. He wanted to meet you, but he was called to the Admiral's office.
That's all right.
Esme already knew that the formalities of coming aboard were minimal for captains below the rank of commander, but Humberley surprised her. He'd turned out the crew in Rascal's rather narrow main corridor, and Esme walked to the bridge to read herself in, feeling very honored indeed. When that was over, and the status board lit with Captain, Esme Suiza, and Captain aboard, she felt simultaneously fully happy and fully anxious. As on despite, once she was captain, it was all her responsibility, every bit of it. But she'd wanted it. She would make good of it. She turned to Humberley.
What's our readiness, Chief?
Did they tell you about the refit and the upgrades?
Yes. New drives, new weapon suites. I looked them over. We have 34% more firepower, half of it in beam weapons, and the drives to power that without dropping shields. But they didn't say what that did to our micro-jump ability, if anything.
Ah, we haven't tried it. Haven't had the chance. My best guess is that it may knock a few percents off our response time. Not good, but...
Worth the trade, if that's all there is. What about crew? I know that a lot of ships are being crewed with people just thrown together.
We were lucky. Because of the need for training with the upgrades, most of the drives and weapons have been here throughout. We were between captains anyway, and about half the environmental is new. But being as we have such a small complement, we were able to do a bit of weeding.
You went scavenging, didn't you? Good for you.
Patrols don't have much in the way of clerical. Mostly it's the captain's own staff.
He eyed her to see if she knew that already. Esme nodded.
We got a couple of bean counters from supply that haven't been out in a fighting ship before, but they should be all right.
Provisions?
There we've had some problems. Small ship, busy station, and no captain aboard. Jig Turner, he's a fine young officer, you understand, but a Jig just doesn't have the clout of someone more senior, and he's not the type to presume on his position as officer in charge.
How bad is it?
Nothing we can't fix in a few shifts with the captain aboard. I'm sure, sir. Nobody's going to give you that much trouble.
Esme doubted that, but she knew she'd fight back if they did. Her ship wasn't going into action on outdated rations or medical supplies.
What have we got in spareables?
That was the polite term for items used in illicit trade.
Not much. Just a few bits and pieces from the refitting. I was saving some of those back for last-minute problems.
Good idea.
Esme found, to her surprise, that her name and image on the screen worked wonders with supply, which promptly disgorged containers of fresh ration packs whose contents actually matched the lists on the containers. She had a little more trouble with munitions, who tried to insist that patrol craft had no need to stuff themselves with missiles, multiple fusing options, and alternative warheads. Esme finally had to go in person, with copies of the refit details, and argue her way up the chain of command to the Admiral Minor in charge.
If they didn't think we'd see serious fighting, they wouldn't have upgraded the weapons suite. There's no reason to have weapons and no ammunition.
Do you have any idea how much a 347XA warhead costs?
Yes, and I know how much a patrol ship costs and how much the cargo of the next convoy is worth to the mutineers. Do you want them to get that shipload of weapons going out to Sector 8 just because I didn't have the weapons to protect them?
He glared at her, and she glared back. In the back of her mind was the rebellious thought that this was actually fun in its own way. He had to resist, she had to demand. It was like a dance of sorts.
All right. But don't tell the other patrol captains. I'm not giving out everything we have, or there won't be anything to ship to Sector 8.
They don't have our upgrades. Why should I arouse their greed?
Lieutenant, I'm glad you're not any more senior than you are. That was worthy of a Serrano. Which I guess you are now, eh?
I'm not sure they'd agree.
Esme had presented her name to the Admiral's staff, only to be told that for the duration, the normal protocol of paying calls had been suspended. At first, she wondered if this was aimed at her, but it quickly became clear it wasn't.
We've got, what, 4 admirals serving as convoy commanders, and who knows how many ships and captains coming and going. Way too many to hold formal calls. What she's doing is holding a get-together before each convoy leaves. Counts as calls for everyone.
Rascal eased away from the station with permission to proceed to the system's practice sector for 4 days of maneuver practice. Esme, on the bridge, watched as her crew ran through the sequences. No mistakes so far. Behind them, she knew one of the ships, which had just finished its practice, was nosing in for a last bit of supply. Rascal's in-system drives, upgraded to the power of a small cruiser, nudged her out of station space efficiently and made short work of the run out to the first maneuver site. Most patrol class took 18 hours. Rascal made it in 15 and a half. On the same power setting.
Makes me wonder if some of those supply crates are empty.
Esme's executive officer, Jig Turner, had a dry sense of humor she already enjoyed.
Hope not. I was planning on feeding everyone regularly for the next several months.
Up on the main screen came the course they were to match. The first part of maneuver practice was simply designed to ensure that the ships could follow a designated course solo. Then they'd begin to practice in formation. The first day's work went well. Esme's crew knew their business, and Rascal answered the helm neatly once they'd figured out the corrective function for their velocity under the new engines. Esme forced herself to go to bed, but woke up at least once an hour. The next day, they were assigned to microjump practice in the far reaches of the system, light hours from anyone else. Esme found it less nerve-wracking than she expected, with a navigational computer that wasn't shot full of holes, as Despite's had been. Esme could feel the rising morale of the bridge crew as Rascal hit one designated set of coordinates after another. When they had finished the set of 16 jumps and recalibrated all the instruments, she grinned at them.
Well done, people. I don't have to wait for our scores to know we aced that test.
That ship's night, with Rascal on in-system drive working its way back to the area for the next day's formation maneuvers, Esme slept well. Formation maneuvers tested the bridge crew almost as much as microjumping practice. Fleet had not used formal convoys in decades, with the result that no one was familiar with the formations needed. Commodore Admiral Minor Lavati, who would command their convoy, wanted to try out first one, then another formation. Should the escorts be farther away, closer in? Should the patrols be alternated with escorts or bunched together? When they finally finished, and the Commodore still hadn't made up his mind, apparently, and headed back for the station for a final resupply, Esme felt that only one thing was certain. She had a good crew, which was rapidly getting better.
The Serrano Legacy, Against the Odds, is continued on the next CD.